That song that Brother Danny just sung is one of my son's favorite songs. I've been trying to get him back in church. And he said, "Listen to this song, Dad. I really like it." He said, "I think you'll like it." And he played it, and I have to admit, I really liked it. But I also like the great truths that song tells too. And you know, when God couldn't swear by no greater, Hebrews chapter 6 said He swore by His own name.
Amen.
That it would be so. And Abraham, for lack of better words, he staggered not the promise of God. Was rich in faith. God was able to use Abraham. God can use all of us.
Amen.
If you can muster up some faith, God can use you. He don't deny none. And as a matter of fact, He kind of appeals to all. You know, who will go? You read that Isaiah chapter 6. God said, "Who will go?" And Isaiah said, "Here am I, send me." God said, "Go." And he took off running and said, "How long shall I go?" God said, "Till the city be wasted, the land be desolate, till there be no inhabitant." That's a long time to go. But we need to be going. We need to be going for God. And you know, I guess Isaiah thought when God said, who will go for us, I guess he thought he wasn't qualified to go. He said, "Here am I, send me." And God said, "Go." God tells all of us to go. Go out in the hedges and highways. Go compel people to come in. His house might be filled. I know this is a little church, but I see it growing. Good to see Bonnie here this morning. First time I'd seen her. I've seen her on the list. I've been praying for her. And I had asked her her first name. She had to be reminded what my first name was. And you know what? We're in a big family. I didn't have no brothers and sisters in Christ growing up. And I so wanted a brother or sister. I don't know. I'd probably kill them, I guess. But I still wanted one. But anyway, I was the only child. Now I'm the last Mohican. And I celebrate Christmas and all that with my wife's family. All my family done graduated this life. But we're in a big family, Sister Bonnie. It's good. Good to see you here. I love your husband to death. We worked together at Donna's for years. And I'm almost positive. Wasn't y'all out at Brother Grover's out there on the Vernon School Road? I preached my first message out there. I made the biggest mess ever. I appreciate Brother Grover having us out there. You know, one thing about a preacher, he got to grow. And I got asked to go out there and preach, and I have to admit, it was terrible. Wade went with me and my cousin. But God's the only one I know can take the biggest mess ever was and use it.
Amen.
But I've done the best I could,
Amen.
And that's what I'll be doing today. And let me tell you, first of all, I didn't have a message this morning. In the light of this message, I had a couple of thoughts I was going to preach on this morning. But I got up real early this morning, 2:30, that's early for me, I hope that's early for you. But I got up 2:30 this morning, I was praying, seeking the Lord, and He directed me in this direction. I'm real excited about it. For one thing, I always like to go with the message of God. Now don't get me wrong, when God don't give me a message, I still got to do what Paul told Timothy. He said, "Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come, they'll not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap themselves teachers, having itching ears. Be turned with truth to fables." What's someone with an itching ear? That's somebody who wants to know what you want to hear. But anyway, I've got to preach the word, whether I've got a message or not. But I like it a whole lot better when I got a message. And I got this message this morning, so it's pretty fresh. You know what I mean? Amen. But open up your good old King James Bible if you got it with you. If you don't have one, look over at your neighbor over there. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1 and verse number 18 is our text verse. We'll go ahead and read down to verse number 21 and we'll possibly comment on some other verses here in the Bible. But 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 18, Paul writing to the church in Corinth, and he says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us," and this is our message today, "us which are saved, it's the power of God."
Yes.
"For it's written," I'm glad it is written, "I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God," this is sad, "the world by wisdom knew not God, It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. We'll stop our reading right there and go to God in prayer. Father, we thank You for the privilege, Lord, to stand for the Word of God. We thank You, Lord, for the souls that are before us. Lord, we're thankful, Lord, that we see people, Lord, wanting to hear from the Word of God. Lord, that have come to the house of God. And Lord, they've come, Lord, to hear from God's Word. We're thankful for that. I pray, God, You'd set a table, Lord, today, that all that hunger and thirst could be fed, could be satisfied. Lord, I pray You'd preach to me, preach through me. I promise to give You all the praise and all the glory. I certainly don't seek any vainglory. I'm glad that I know I'm nothing. Because if I'm nothing, You can be everything. And if I ever think that I'm something, Lord, You can't be everything. And I'm glad that I know I'm nothing. I pray You'll use me, Lord, as worthless as I am. I pray, God, Lord, You'll get honor and glory through this vessel today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm preaching today a message, Us Which Are Saved. And before I preach, let me say this. We're finishing out a year in church. And the best way to start out a new year is start out in church.
Amen.
January the 3rd, our government is going to plunge. And I was really down and out about that. And I hate to get political, but I do want to share this with you. Until they put that picture of Michelle Obama with that yellow curtain or robe or tent or whatever it was with those $4,000 hip waders on. And I have to admit, after reading some of the comments posted about that photo, well, I kind of got back up again. I was kind of down and out. And let me tell you something, that photo, I laughed my way back to sanity again. But it really was a kind of an encouragement to me to know, hey, we ain't there yet, but it's nearer than when we believed.
Yeah.
But there was a cancellation of the Women's March in January. It was scheduled to be January the 17th, Women's Rights March. It was canceled because too many white women showed up. They planned to attend it. There wasn't enough diversity there. Anyway, that's the world we live in.
Yeah.
But we're preaching today unto us which are saved. And let me say, first of all, I'm glad I'm saved.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Man, oh man. The psalmist said in Psalm 34, verse number 8, he said, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good."
Yeah, that's right.
Man, oh man. Read, I tell you what, I've done more than taste. I got in the buffet line. I've been supping with Jesus now for 30 years. Man, I kind of wish I could go through it again, but tomorrow it was just so wonderful.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one of those kind of things that you can't explain it. You can't put it in words. It's better felt than tell. Somebody said, you can't go on feelings. Listen, that woman, that issue of body, she felt she was
good.
Feelings were pretty good. I felt I was saved. I wasn't looking in the mirror, Brother Danny. That mirror couldn't show it. I still remember I couldn't hide it neither. I remember running Mama down. I got her cord and I said, "Mama, Mama, I got saved."
Hey.
And she put a crooked finger in my face, Brother Mark. And she said, "When you get home," she said, "you have got the word fanatic." That's what you are. I still am. Oh, I wish I could go do it again. That's the greatest thing life offers. Just get good and born again. Just
like
the Paul said, by the grace of God, he said, "I am what I am." And the Bible says, "For by grace we're saved." I'm glad I'm saved.
Yeah.
I mean, it ain't up for question. It's not like I'm trying to work it out, trying to figure it out. I'm just enjoying the journey. Glory to God. Unto us we are saved. Hallelujah.
Amen. Yeah.
Oh, I'm glad I'm saved.
Yeah.
Man, we're living in a weird world.
Well,
I mean, there's just a lot going on right now. And I'm going to hit on a few of them here in a minute. But right now, I'm just kind of enjoying the fact of being saved.
That's right.
The Bible says in, I believe it's Titus chapter 3, verse 14, "Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy," listen to this, "He saved us."
Yeah,
I mean, He
right.
saved me.
Yeah.
Somebody at my baptism, Mark Bunch, and down there at Brotherhood Freewill Baptist Church, he said, "I refuse to believe that God can save someone like you. I want to hear your testimony." Boy, I love giving my testimony.
Yeah.
And when I gave my testimony, he said, "All I know to do is shake your hand, brother."
Amen.
Man, oh man, he that had a testimony, and he that's testimony was mighty, that it pleased God.
Yeah.
I mean, brother, I don't know how to put it in words. cross, Brother Mitchell. Right. It's to them that perish foolish. They want to take the crosses down.
Amen. Yeah, they do.
See that? They get under conviction.
Right.
They see that cross, they say, that's unconstitutional.
Yeah.
Did y'all know they removed all the crosses in Ogden Cemetery? Did y'all know that? I done a military funeral one time. I was asked to do it. And those guys done a good job. They very honored this fallen soldier. And I asked them, I said, y'all notice anything different? They sitting there smoking. I said, no, what? And I said, you see any crosses anywhere? It's the one that you mentioned. You're right. They're not a cross nowhere.
Hmm.
You see, the cross is an offense.
Yeah.
To people that ain't saved, Brother Ed.
Amen.
You see, they want to somehow find that church where they can feel comfortable.
Yeah.
Cross didn't make me feel comfortable until I got saved.
Yeah, that's right.
Now let the handle know my salvation. Man, I like preaching on the cross, Brother Mark. I mean, woo! Preach on it, brother.
That's right.
Lay it down. Amen.
Come on.
But you know, those that they ain't saved, they don't want to hear about the cross. They want to hear about some other nonsense. And you know what? They think their IQ is their success. I'll get on here in a minute. But in us which are saved, man, that preaching of the cross, I love songs about the cross.
Yeah.
I love messages about the cross. I love just hearing somebody talk about if I could just get to the cross.
Amen.
A young girl got lost one time. They moved to a big city. I ain't never been to a big city, but I'll tell you one thing. I'll go through a few of them and see nothing I want to do, man. But anyway, they moved to a big city. Mitchell, she got lost.
Amen.
And she's crying. Crowds come around, Joanne, said, honey, we'd like to help you. Can you tell us anything? She said, no, I don't know nothing. We just moved here. I don't know anything. The policeman said, honey, he said, can you remember anything? She said, no, I don't know nothing. We just moved here. And then she grinned. She said, yeah, there's a big cross where we moved to. If you can get me to the cross, I can get home with you. I mean, glory. Come on, hear about the cross. Glory to God.
Yeah.
The world don't like it. They hate it. They want it removed. They need it. But they don't want it.
That's right.
But that's what you're saved, Brother Mark. Ooh, I like it. I love the cross. Amen. He said here, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it's the power of God. Amen.
Yes.
I tell you what, I like messages about the cross. Those that perish, they think the cross is foolishness. By the way, I used to be one of them.
Yeah.
I thought it was nonsense.
Yeah.
I had never been enlightened. I had never been saved. But oh me, hey, they want those crosses removed. And now I tell you what, I want crosses everywhere to remind me that Jesus died for me. Amen. Every time I see a cross, I say, glory! He took my place. He went there in my stead. He shed his blood.
Amen.
We just got there going through Christmas. You know, we did a Christmas mark. We celebrated birth.
Yeah, that's right.
Every now and then, we've done it once since I've been here, we take the Lord's Supper.
Yeah, that's right.
You know what we do when we take that Lord's Supper? I remember Brother Eddie had to round up some unleavened bread.
Yeah.
Bless his heart, you got some too.
Amen.
We took it.
Amen, Brother. Amen.
We took that Lord's Supper.
Right.
You know, we remembered when we did that.
Yeah.
We celebrated that he died.
Amen.
You know what we do at Easter? You know what we do?
Yes.
Yeah. We celebrate he got up. Paul said if he didn't get up, we're still in our sins. But he got up. Glory to God. He didn't just go to the cross. He went to the tomb. And on the third day, according to the scriptures, he got up. Amen.
Amen.
Man, I like messages about the cross. It all started there a long time ago. We'll hammer on that here in a minute. But oh me, at that cross, he took the place a long time ago of Isaac in Genesis 22:13. When Abraham had the burden of taking his son up on Mount Moriah and offering him a sacrifice to God. I'm sure Abraham said, Lord, I asked for this boy. I waited a long time for this boy. Now Abraham, that boy, he saddled his ass. He got up early in the morning. He got the wood for of sacrifice. Hey, he got Isaac and they headed towards Mount Moriah. He said, "You men wait here. Me and the lad going yonder. We'll come back. We're going yonder to worship." He didn't say, "I'm coming back." He said, "We're coming back."
Yes, he did.
Right.
As they started on that journey, Pagan Isaac said, "Father, I see the wood. I see the fire. Where's the lamb?" Abraham, being a good wise father that he was, he said, "My son, God provide himself a lamb."
That's right.
Lord God did.
Yes,
Abraham done everything God told him to do. When he drove that ham back to slay his son, the Bible said he believed God could even raise from the dead. I believe he'd have done it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Right. I mean, his foot persuaded, buddy. Right. Hey, I'm on the winning side. I tell you, he said, no matter what, I'm a winner either way. Before he could strike that boy that night, God said, Abraham, hold it. The Bible said he saw a ram over the type of Christ.
Right.
Substitute.
Amen.
Took the place of Isaac, Christ, our place over. Crucified for us, the substitute. Took my place. Every time I see the cross, I'm reminded he took my place. Glory to God. Oh, my lovest message. The world says this is foolishness. Look at verse 20. I don't know how much y'all do Facebook or me. I'm guilty of posting on Fox News. They've got a thing on there and you can kind of post and you can kind of see all the sarcasm, the scoffing, all the rhetoric that comes back. It's worse than heck old. You put some truth on there and they'll throw a bunch of stuff on there and I've heard some stuff. But they think somehow they're smarter than me.
Yeah.
Hey, I had no sense to get saved. How smart you got to be?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, I had no sense to get saved. And that's pretty dead burn smart. And they're sitting there thinking, hey, you know, my IQ. Matter of fact, I think they're out of Q's in the minus. But they think they've got the advantage over me because they say, "Have you ever been to college?" I say, "Yeah, I've been to college. I got a degree. Mine's down on a thermometer. I mean, I ain't got them kind of degrees like they're talking about. But I got a degree." But listen, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Have not God made the foolish? Have not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? See, the world thinks they've outsmarted God. They think they're above God. They call God spaghetti monster. They call him the great fairy in the sky. And they say all manner of foolishness about God. And the Bible said God just winks at that.
Yeah.
And he commands them to repent.
Damn.
But you know what? They get all carnal. They somehow think they've arrived. They figured it out, Bonnie. They think, you know, they forgot more than I'll ever know. I'll tell you what, I used to be one of them, so I kind of licked them a little bit.
Yeah.
Oh my, boy, what a good dose of salvation. It'll be good. But the world says, all that's a bunch of junk, it's foolish. Like I said, God commands the whole world to repent, Acts 17:30. And he said, except they repent, they will perish, Luke chapter 13, verse 3 and 5. And that's not optional. It's not like you can get a second opinion.
Right. That's right.
I hear a lot on crosstalk, I hear a lot on SRN news, I try to keep up with the news, I'm supposed to be a watchman. I'm supposed to watch over the flock. I'm supposed to warn you. I'm supposed to try to inform you and try to tell you and pray for you and love you and put up with you and hope you put up with me. And I try to be a good watchman. But the world, they just miss it. I mean, evidence everywhere. I just can't see it. And Jesus told Nicodemus that. He said, except to be born again, you can't see it.
Right.
They're just out of the loop. But somehow or another, they think this is a bunch of nonsense. They think this is something you can discount. Hey, listen, Jesus said, repent or perish. There's no other option. Amen.
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 He said in verse 21, the world by wisdom knew not God. See, they got a problem here.
Yeah.
The problem is, let me put it in this perspective. Let's see who I can pick on this morning. Moran. Oh, my. You know Donald Trump?
Yeah.
Do you know him personally?
No. Nope.
That's what I'm talking about. See, the world knows of God, but they don't know him personally. And that's what I'm talking about. I know God personally.
Amen.
I talked to him this morning, Joey. We had a good talk. Amen. I'm telling you, glory to God.
Right.
Hey, listen, we can fellowship and we walk in the light. There's peace in the light.
Right.
We can have fellowship one with another.
Right.
the plan of the world. They want peace, but they don't want God's peace. Yeah.
Amen.
There's no peace, said my God, to the wicked. And they just don't like that. But the Bible says a world by wisdom, it knew not God. They just don't get it. They can't connect the dots. It's not in their book. It's in His book. But they think somehow, through much learning, they can somehow arrive. Well, let's put it this way. Let's just take, for instance, I took my keys and I throw them as far as I could throw them that way. Let's say I said, let's all go out trying to look for my keys. And we spent years out there. Never found them. They said, well, it just ain't there. It was there, all right. It's just it was in this direction, not that direction. You know what I mean? You got to go in the right direction to find where it is. I'm telling you, Jesus said, look unto me and be ye saved. Glory to God.
Amen.
That's what you got to look for. You can find it if you look where it's at. But the world by wisdom knew not God. I shouldn't cast God's pearls to swine, neither give that which holy to dogs, Matthew 7, verse 6, but I do it anyway. And they want to somehow match wits with me. And they want to somehow, you know, I don't know, somehow put me at a loss, which I have to admit, I'm always, we got the advantage over our adversary, but because greater is He that's in us, He's in the world. But,
yeah.
But one thing good about it, I shouldn't do it, but I do it anyway, but one thing good about it is I learn something every time. It's like, God speaks to them through me, and I get like Paul. He said, I'll no doubt come to Revelation. I'll learn a lot of the Bible just trying to reason with someone out of the Scriptures. And it's amazing the words that God will bring to my mind and the Scriptures He'll bring for me to give to them. Like I said, you shouldn't do it. I'll tell you one thing, don't do it unless you know your Bible. I mean, I know my Bible enough. I'm just about standing toe-to-toe with any of them. But anyway, don't do it unless you know your Bible. But they want to somehow match rich with me. They think, you know, that they've forgotten more than I'll ever know. And I just kind of look, like better words, I think, how do you miss it? Why can't you see it? And another thing, they think their wisdom is above God. Look at verse 25. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. And you know, they don't get that. They can't understand that. God not only has the advantage over all that any man can ever learn. And by the way, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's throw this in there real quick. Verse 11 through 14. For what man knoweth the things of a man? In other words, there's limits to what a man can know.
Yeah.
He can just learn so much.
That's right.
Y'all may not know this, but Albert Einstein, the one at the MC2, did you know he derived that out of the book of Genesis? Did you know that? You know, they put that MC equals 2 whatever on there, you know, that great equation. Albert Einstein said this about the Bible, Brother Mark. He said, the greatest science in the world is the Bible.
Yeah,
then
right.
He said, I wish I could understand it. Now, through the mind of man, you can't.
No.
But through the mind of Christ, you can.
Yeah.
There's not another option. But man wants to somehow approach this book with the carnal mind of man. And listen to what it says. It says, for what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man that's in him? He's limited. He can't get it. He can't reach it. He says, even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given us of God, which things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches. Man can't even put it in words. He said, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because he's spiritually discerned. He can't get it, even though we see it, even though we know it. He scratches his head in denial and says, I just don't get it. I just can't see it. The way I see it's like this. We've got the advantage in the world. Their wisdom is limited.
Yes.
And yet, God has given us the advantage over man's limited wisdom. We have the help of God to understand the things of God, things that the world can't understand. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. We just read that. He said, well, let me get back to where I'm at here. Notice verse 8, where the world fell right in to the plan of God. Look up there at verse 8 of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Which none of the princes of this world knew. For if they'd known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. You see, God was in control.
Yes.
Of His Son being crucified.
Amen.
They didn't even understand God was using them. Judas didn't even understand that God had already said He was going to betray Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. They didn't understand that they were going to deny Him, and yet He was going to die for them, and that He was going to pray for them. Father, forgive them. They know not what to do. God was in complete control.
Yes,
that's right.
At Calvary.
Amen.
It was victory. It wasn't a defeat.
Right.
Oh my. You remember the contest between Moses and Pharaoh? After 12 miracles and 10 judgments, Exodus chapter 7, verse 10 through 12, Pharaoh died.
Yeah.
You see, some people, you just can't win. I mean,
amen.
Throw the rod down, it became a serpent, and Pharaoh called for his magicians. They throw their rod down, they became serpents. Yeah, Aaron's rod swallowed their serpents up. Of course, y'all seen the movie, The Ten Commandments. You've seen that. Well, listen, we ain't talking about a movie. We're talking about Pharaoh. His heart just kept getting harder and harder.
Yeah,
that's the way the world is.
Yeah.
They see all the miracles. And you know what? They go through the judgments and they just can't accept it. The world, they're chasing rabbits. Mm. Look at verse 27. It says, "For God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty." The world, they chase after their rabbits, and that somehow they think they'll find the missing link. Boy, can you imagine? You know, one thing I realized when I got saved, I quit drinking, I quit cussing.
Yeah.
And I'm sure everybody thought, well, I sure hope he starts back drinking again. I sure hope he starts back cussing again, because they're sitting there thinking, man, there's something here I can't deny. There's something here that just don't add up. There's something here I don't know what the heck's going on.
Yeah.
And you know what? If I had went back to drinking and cursing, he said, whew. I thought there was something to that. Hey, I'm still drinking. Just drank to my better fountain. My language now, a whole lot better.
Amen.
I don't have to make up words now.
Amen.
I'm just telling the truth. Amen.
That's right.
Amen. Yeah.
That's
amen.
Right.
The world, they look at us, they scratch their head, they say something different about them.
Yeah,
I just can't figure it out. And they're chasing their rabbits. They think someday they'll find that missing link. They say they think someday they'll find that evidence needed to disprove the Word of God. But the more they search, the more evidence points to the credibility of the Word of God. And they resist. They rebel. They deny. But time is on God's side, not on theirs. They're running out of space. God said He gave Jezebel space to repent. He said she repented not. They're in the same circumstances. Time's on God's hand.
Amen. That's right.
Many will get a wake-up call from God one day.
That's right.
By the way, He'll call them by name. Luke 12, 20.
Yeah.
God told that rich farmer, He said, "Thou fool."
Mm-hmm.
Call him by his name.
That's right.
He said this night. Can you imagine getting a wake-up call like that? Man, I kind of like to hear the words into that one, to the joys of the Lord. You know what I mean?
Amen.
But he didn't get one then. He said, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Whence shall be those goods you got laid up for meteor?" See, he made preparation to live, Rita. He didn't make preparation to die.
Yeah,
he had all the money.
Right.
He had all the substance. He had new barns. He had so much he didn't know what to do with. But he didn't have a refuge for his soul.
Yeah.
He was rich towards the world, they wasn't rich towards God.
Amen.
Man, I'm glad I got the riches of God
yeah.
added to my account. Man, it's yet to be seen. It's yet to be seen just what we're worth. I ain't never kicked up gold dust, but up there the streets are gold.
Yeah, that's
right. By the way, they got walls up there, Mark. They got gates, 12 of them. It describes how big those walls are.
Yeah.
Hell's got them too. Jesus said, "Upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell not prevail against it." They got walls and gates in hell. But oh my, the Bible talks about our inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, reserved in heaven, kept for us by the power of God. Whew. I mean, that story about that woman wanted to go to church so bad, it was back during Bloody Mary's times, and she knew if she got caught, Bonnie, she knew that they'd kill her and her children. She had her little girls by her arms. She said, "We're still going, let's go." And they started towards church, Bonnie, and they heard these horses coming. She looked over her shoulder, and sure enough, here come the bloody henchmen of Bloody Mary. And they pulled up, and here she was, them two little girls, holding on to their mama. They pulled up and said, "Where are you going, Missy?" "Well, I don't want to be in that predicament, I'll tell you right now, but I'll tell you what, she wasn't at a loss. She said, "Well, I'm going to my father's house. My elder brother died, and I heard they're going to read the will." And he said, "Well, I'm sorry to hear about that. Have a good day, honey." She went to tell you that thing. They had a dog on them, and they fell for that, and they went and found this woman. They knocked on every door until they finally found the door of this woman. She answered the door, and they stand there and said, "Oh, by the way, how'd it go?" She said, "Oh, he left it all to me." I'll make you shout if you're drying cracker juice. She said, "Lift it all to me."
Yeah, amen.
Give an illustration, true illustration. I heard this one day driving home from work. I'm kind of enjoying preaching, y'all are old against me. I was driving home from work one day. I had a terrible day, Brother Danny. It's one of the days nothing went right, you know what I mean? I'm kind of in the mother grubs, you know. And I'm going across the railroad track there on the bypass right there by let's see, what is right there? White Castle, something like that right there, you know, Lisbury. I'm going across those railroad tracks, and I'm listening to it. At that time, I was listening to WJCL. And this guy told a story on there. He said, "Did I ever tell you about Arnold Palmer playing golf over in Arabia?" He said, "Let me tell you about that." He says, "True story." He said, "Arnold Palmer went over to Arabia to play golf." He said, "The king of Arabia come out there to watch Arnold Palmer play golf." Arnold, boy, he played a pretty good game that day. The king had Arnold Palmer brought to him. Bonnie, Arnold Palmer stood before the king of Arabia. And the king of Arabia said, "I want to give you a gift. I really enjoyed watching you play golf today." And Arnold Palmer's like, "You and me, you know." He said, "Oh, king, I don't need no gift. Thank you. I enjoy doing this. This is what I do for a living." The king insisted. He said, "I insist. I want to give you a gift. You see, a king's measured by his gift." And Arnold Palmer said, No. You keep the gift. Thank you for the offer." He said, "I just enjoy playing golf."
Amen.
The king insisted. He said, "No, I insist. I want to give you a gift." You know, Mitchell, Arnold Palmer, like you and me, he said, "Okay, king, you want to give me a gift? Just give me a golf club. That'll be fine. Just give me a golf club." Well, the king of Arabia did give Arnold Palmer a golf club. A $6 million golf club with a swimming pool, 18 holes, and a motel, because a king don't give a small king gift. Well, the king of kings going to give us a gift. Do the man by man. I'm looking forward. Amen. They're getting home. Glory to God. Us which are saved, boy, we got a future.
Yeah, we do.
That's right. Amen.
I'm looking forward, but I've about had it up to here.
Right.
Man, Russia just come out with a supersonic missile.
Right.
Mark, it's able to go 20 times faster than the speed of sound. That's over 15,000 miles an hour. And hit the target. Let's just do the math. Let's just say they fire 1,000 of them. And they've got selected sites in America. And you read that verse which I started to preach out of Luke chapter 21.
Yeah.
About verse 20. Maybe it's verse 21. Talked about men's hearts failing for fear. Looking on those things coming on the nations. Man, you see tsunami, 400 some people die. You see Paul trying to tell Timothy in the last days, perilous times will come. I mean, the world thinks they've got the cat by the tail. They think they're in control. All these liberals, all these atheists, all these infidels, they think somehow they're going to win. Man, I done read the back of the book. I'll just tell you right now, fire them missiles. Jesus said also in Luke chapter 21, verse 18, you know what he said, Joanne? Hold on something there. He said, "Not one hair of your head is going to perish." Woo!
Amen.
I may not have very many. They might fall out, but ain't none going to get burned. Amen. I'm telling you, fire them if you want to. I'm good to go, glory to God. And the earth, we are saved. We're under the sheltered arm of God. I take a big breath and sleep like a baby, Carolyn. I don't worry about nothing.
That's right.
I'll tell you right now, brother, the world ain't got no advantage over us. We got the advantage over them.
That's right.
If God be for us, who can be against us?
Yeah.
And, oh my, I'm glad I'm saved. Not one hair.
Amen.
He said he got them numbered. You know, when I get to heaven, Brother Mitchell, I believe I'm going to have more hair than the Beatles. I go to work all the time, they were giving me a beautiful haircut. He looked at me and just slapped me and says, "Get out of here." But one of these days, I'm going to embarrass the Beatles, Brother Dan.
That's right.
They see my, you know, Absalom, he weighed his hair. They see my hair, they're going to say, "He's got Absalom's hair." I ain't losing nothing. All the things Paul said that he counted loss were gain.
Yeah, that's right.
I might have lost some hair, but I'm going to gain it back.
That's right.
I mean, glory to God, when we see him, hey, he was a Nazarite. He had long hair. One boy come to his dad and said, "Daddy, buy me a car." He said, "Go get a haircut, I will." He said, "Jesus had long hair." He said, "Yeah, and he walked everywhere he went." Amen. Learn how to defend yourself.
Right.
Yeah, he was a Nazarite. There's a reason he had long hair. I'm gonna have some hair, amen. Yeah, he walked everywhere he went, amen. Hey, that's my money, amen. His parents are gonna have to get up with it now. These children get smarter. My mama used to tell me, she said, "Listen to me and shut up." And she done that right there, and I said, "It'd probably be smart to just shut up right there." Ended up in the car picking myself by the floor. So I started listening. I'm glad I'm saved.
Yeah.
Amen.
Listen, if you're saved today, you're on the winning side.
Yes.
That's right.
If you're saved today, the worse it looks, the better it's going to be for us.
Right.
You see, God hadn't forgot us.
No.
Exactly.
No, he ain't.
He's coming.
Yes, right. He is.
You remember Lot? God done said he's going to rain down fire and brimstone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right.
He told that to Abraham. And Abraham bargained with God and said, "50, would you do it for 50? And God said, "Nah, I won't do it for 50 righteous Aaron." And Abraham said, "Well, what about 40? Would you spare it for 40? God said, "Yeah, I'll spare it for 40.
Yeah.
And they got all the way down to 10. And I guess Abraham somehow thought, "Surely to God there's 10 righteous in it." And Sodom, God said, "Yeah, I'll spare it for 10. There was only one righteous there, and that was Lot, according to the Bible.
Yeah, that's right.
But anyway, he could have went to one. But you see, that's the way we think. We think, surely there's 10. Anyway, let me tell you this about that. Did you know no fire could fall until Lot got out? They'd take him by the hand, drag him out, keep him screaming. They told him in verse 22. They said, "We can't do nothing until you're gone."
Yeah.
I mean, buddy, Lot was there. He couldn't even destroy Sodom and Gomorrah because Lot was there. And when they drug him out, buddy, it failed.
Yeah, it did.
Can I tell you something? They got to drag me out.
Amen.
It can't nothing happen till I'm gone.
Right.
Woo!
Yeah.
Hallelujah. I'm glad I'm saved. Father, thank you for the privilege to brag on your son. Thank you for the great truths and treasures to your word. Lord, I pray you encourage someone here today. I pray, Lord, someone got a blessing.
Yeah.
Whatever, Lord, I pray the glory and honor be yours. Yeah. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I'd like to ask everybody to stand. Lord, I'd get better. Jerry, if you would please, just one verse of an invitation to him. I never know what God's doing, but I certainly want to give an opportunity. If anybody got something they talk God about, why? Ain't no better time than right now. Old Brother Eddie, I'll pray with you.
Yeah.
I'll pray for you. But if you need to come forward, will you do that?